I call Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is Monday, February 12th, 2024. The time is 3:30 p.m. Reminding everyone to turn off your cell phones. Members present today, Senator Kawasaki, Vice Chair Senator Wilkowski, Senator Dunbar, Senator Kaufman, and my co-chair, Senator Bishop, as well as myself, co-chair Giesel. I expect Senator Klayman soon. So we have a quorum to conduct business. Thank you to Dylan Williams, who's doing the audio, and Sab Danbart, that is doing the secretarial work today. Thank you. So we have a pretty big agenda today of hearing from the public. We'll hear House Bill 125 on trapping cabins, Senate Bill 118, critical natural resources, and 1, 2, 3, 4 executive orders, public testimony on those. So first up is House Bill 125. So this is trapping cabins on state land. We have one amendment to consider. We've heard this bill before. The amendment deadline was set. We have one amendment. And so I will ask Senator Bishop if he would make that motion.
The chair's indulgence. Can we have a brief
minute? Yes, Eddie's. Record. All right. Everyone has a copy of amendment number one, I'm told. Yes, no? All right. I'll give you mine. Do you have more copies? Everyone else has a copy of the amendment? It's basically just to add an effective date. The bill didn't have an effective date, so that's all the amendment does. So I move amendment number one.
I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
All right. So this adds an effective date. Are there any comments from? Let's see. We have Diana Leinberger online. From a Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Any comments on that, Diana? Any problems with that amendment adding an effective date?
For the record, my name is Diana Leinberger, a natural resource manager for the Department of Natural Resources with the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Chair Giesel, we have no objections or comments on the amendment. We're supportive. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments or questions from committee members related to the effective date? All right. Seeing none, Senator Bishop?
I remove my objection.
Are there any other objections to amendment number one? Seeing none, amendment number one has been adopted. There were no other amendments, so Senator Bishop?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to report CS to House Bill 125, Work Order 33-Lima Sierra 0497/PAPA as amended out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
All right. With that, the bill is moved from committee, and we will sign the committee report before we adjourn today. Next item up is Senate Bill 118. This is Critical Natural Resources Report by Senator Merrick, who is here. We're going to take public testimony on Senate Bill 118 today. So let me pull this up here. I've got a couple people online here for question only. Is there anyone here in the room that wishes to provide public testimony on Senate Bill 118, Critical Natural Resources Reports? All right, seeing none, and I see no one online. We just have a couple members from DNR and DCCD for questions. So with that, I will close public testimony. If anyone thinks about it and would like to provide public testimony, you can submit it in writing to senateresources@akledge.gov. I'll set an amendment deadline for Senate Bill 118 for this Wednesday, February 14th at noon. All right, so we'll set that bill aside also. That takes us now to executive orders. So the first executive order is 124, prohibiting by regulation live capture, possession, transport, or release of native or exotic game or eggs. So this is the second hearing of this executive order. We have three more to consider today. A reminder, the governor can make changes to the organization of the executive branch by executive order unless disapproved by resolution concurred to by a majority of members in joint session. So I'm going to open public testimony on Executive Order 124. Is there anyone in the room that wishes to testify on Executive Order 124? Welcome, sir. Please come forward. And I'm going to set a two-minute time limit for public testimony. Hang on 1 second while I get the timer set here and you get settled. All right. So in your testimony, 2 minutes, I'm going to ask you to give your name, affiliation, and then your statement. So welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Doug Larson, and I'm a resident of Juneau. I've lived various parts of the state, Ketchikan, Sitka, here in Juneau, Kotzebue, and Fairbanks, and had opportunities to hunt and fish in all those places. And I guess one of the things that, for me, the biggest concern with EO 124, which I really hope you will oppose, is that it really, I guess I'll start by saying I've really respected, I've worked with and I've respected the extensive public process that's been created and used for decades in Alaska to develop Alaska's wildlife regulations. That time-tested process, which involved professional biologists with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, 7 members of the governor-appointed Board of Game, and the public, is considered the envy of most states and has served Alaska well for decades in conserving the state's wildlife and avoiding the introduction of deleterious diseases and parasites. Parting from that proven process for the sake of efficiency seems illogical, frankly, and ill-advised to me. Alaska's wildlife is far too valuable and important to cut corners under such a guise. This proposed EO is unnecessarily broad, given that the Board of Game can already delegate authorities for specific actions to the commissioner under Alaska Statute 1605270 as prudent and necessary in the best interest of the public. The proposed transfer of authority through EO 124 represents an expedited process for the importation of exotic species that is unrestricted as to new species currently not approved under 5 AAC 920295. Exotic species introductions will pose increased risk of disease or parasite transmission to native wildlife or domestic livestock, or frankly, to public safety. This change would unnecessarily exclude the public from the long-established and I think very effective deliberative process for wildlife regulations. As a former fish and game biologist and administrator, I had the pleasure of interacting with many wildlife professionals from other states. And I'll just say in closing that what I found in those discussions with others is that they are amazed by what we have in Alaska in terms of our public process. And many of them struggle financially and with workloads trying to overcome and deter and push back the kinds of problems that have arisen from the kinds of things that could happen with deleterious parasites and so forth coming into their state. So I would certainly hope that we stay with our tried and true process for how we deal with Alaska wildlife regulations in general, particularly if something as serious as allowing something to come in and into the state. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Doug. We appreciate it. Any questions for Mr. Larson? Seeing none, thank you.
Before I go, I'd just like to say one thing, and that is, Madam Chair, I'd like to thank you personally on the record for all you've done for Alaska senior citizens. My 93-year-old mother especially wanted me to thank you, so thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Send my greetings to her. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, online, I have some folks signed up. I'm going to start here at the Fairbanks LIO. Michael Spindler is wanting to testify. Mr. Spindler, welcome.
Yes, Madam Chair and Senators on the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to testify on Executive Order 124. I live in Fairbanks, and I formerly lived in two different bush communities, Galena and Kotzebue. I'm a longtime hunter and fisherman. I lived a subsistence lifestyle. I worked for 41 years in wildlife research in the bush and out of Fairbanks, all of it in Alaska. I have a master's degree in wildlife from UAF, and I'm certified as a wildlife biologist by the Wildlife Society, the national organization to certify qualifications. Based on my experience and education, I know about the danger of improperly researched introductions and importations of flora and fauna. Without proper research, there's a risk that a newly introduced species could threaten our valuable native game mammals and fisheries with excessive competition, disease, or parasites. The current Board of Game process involves multiple individuals with varying perspectives and in-depth qualifications. The three-year cycle in which the board considers these proposals allows sufficient time for detailed research and deliberations before permitting the importation and introduction of a species to Alaska. Executive Order 124 seeks to shorten this process by transferring such decisions to a single person, the Commissioner of Fish and Game, which could reduce the efforts available for careful analysis and research. One only needs to look at other states and nations to learn about the risk to native fish and wildlife caused by the many improper introductions and importations that have done millions of dollars of damage and in fact caused some species to go endangered. Once a non-native species introduction takes hold, it's difficult or impossible to undo that action. So I encourage you to vote against Executive Order 124 so that the process remains open, transparent, and well-researched. We cannot risk any of our valuable game and fish populations by fast-tracking permits to import or introduce flora and fauna. Thanks again for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much, Mr. Spindler. Any questions from committee members? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. Next up, I see Katie Rooks, and she is on Prince of Wales. Katie, welcome. If you'd introduce yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you, through the chair, Madam Buesel. I prepared comments on three of the EOs today. I'm wondering if it's permissible for me to read that.
Well, right now we're on 124. So if you could just testify on 124 right now, we'll be getting to three more here as the meeting progresses.
Okay. Through the chair, Madam Buesel, for the record, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Katie Rooks, and today I'd like to provide testimony on EO 124. I've been a Southeast Alaska resident for 20 years. I've worked in all levels of government, owned a small business, and currently work for a regional nonprofit. During the past several years, I've noticed a distinct trend within our state government, removing public and bipartisan input from a number of bodies supposedly representing public interest. EO 124 would eliminate Board of Game input when deciding whether or not to allow non-native game species in the state. This also eliminates opportunity for informed public comment and robust scientific studies in the name of efficiency. Members of the Senate Resource Committee asked important questions about this order last week, and I thank them. I urge you to vote no on this executive order, and thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Katie, for your testimony. Any questions for Katie from committee members? All right, seeing none. So I'm looking here, and I don't see anyone else online to provide public testimony. Again, is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, I'll close public testimony on Executive Order 124. So we're going to set this executive order aside. You can still submit comments in writing to senateresources@akledge.com. I'm going to take a moment to ask my committee aide if she would bring in, actually, we have received volumes of public feedback through email on these executive orders. And if she would bring in that documents, I think it'd be helpful for the public to see how many emails we've gotten from you, the public, and the fact that we do actually see them and look at them. So we're going to set this EO aside, and we'll move on to the next executive order. The next one is Executive Order 126. This is eliminating Wood-Tikchik State Park Management Council. So this is the second hearing of this executive order. We have two folks that are invited testifiers. So I'm going to open up public testimony with the public testimony to begin with, or the invited testimony to begin with. So let me pull up those folks and make sure they're here. Yep, Chad Larson is a member of the Wood-Tikchik State Park Management Council. So, Chad, you're calling in from Dillingham, the Dillingham LIO. Welcome. If you would introduce yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon to the honorable members of the Senate Resources Committee. My name is Cody Larson. I am the chairman of the Wood-Tikchik State Park Management Council. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I've prepared a statement, but I'm happy to answer any questions or expand on any points to the extent of my experience with the council. I'd like to first and foremost thank the past leadership for their foresight in planning for today. The management plans have assisted immensely in navigating complex scenarios while providing guidelines for a simple understanding for the public. Of that same token, I speak for the council to say we are all dedicated to sincere efforts for productive and efficient planning to benefit future iterations of membership. Over the last few weeks, I've received an overwhelming response from the public and small business owners on today's topic. The primary concern expressed is the desire to maintain the cooperative management of these lands, which were reserved from the public domain for the express purposes outlined in the statute before you. This cooperative management has been the mechanism to bridge the boundaries between federal, state, municipal, corporate, and private land ownership. Fish and wildlife are the needle and thread which stitch both this landscape and common interest of park users together. Cooperative agreements with adjacent land managers were developed with the implicit understanding that the Management Council is in statute to ensure these arrangements are both honored and maintained if in need of future adjustment. These agreements volunteered public easements on 26,000 acres of ANCSA Corporation lands and the neighboring wildlife refuge in ensuring values and uses remain consistent between neighbors. I'd be negligent to not point out that human activities and stewardship of these lands have been managed for thousands of years. Contemporarily, there's ownership of about 1,000 acres of roughly 100 individual private native allotments within the park. Information, negotiations were made seeking to exchange allotments which were originally selected within the park boundary for land outside the park. Settlements were made with the explicit knowledge that the management council was in place for planning and assurances that subsistence and recreational uses remain primary values on the park. I say on the park rather than in the park because I feel there's a desire for folks to be on the landscape, free of distractions of prohibitions and land boundaries. The traditional activities preserved in the management plan seek to maintain those freedoms for all park users alike. But these agreements take time, and more importantly, they take trust. The Management Council has a legacy of valuable input from our community leaders, the public, and past council membership, which has culminated in the cooperative spirit of park operations, which we see today. An expression I recently heard seems to capture the approach taken by our management council in engaging with the public, which is, we can only move at the speed of trust. In my tenure on the council, I believe that to be the arrangement between the council representatives and the public, and we'll strive for this to be true in the future. As you're all well aware, public process can be messy, but is entirely necessary when garnering buy-in from the public. True efficiencies are found in consistent and long-term planning where everyone feels represented at the table. The Management Council provides a public space for precisely that. I believe that it's the position of the Council to maintain the current management structure outlined in the statute approved by this legislative body 48 years ago. If there is the will for a change to this structure, we feel that the typical process for bill routing would only be appropriate. The traditional process for changing statute is robust, fair, and most importantly, is something the public trusts, and it makes for efficient administration in long-term planning. I thank you for the privilege to testify on this important topic today.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Any questions for Mr. Larson from committee members? Seeing none, thank you. The second invited testimony is Daniel Chiette, and he is calling in from Anchorage, Senior Vice President, Lands and Resources, Bristol Bay Native Corporation. Mr. Chiette?
Thank you. To the committee through the chair, my name is Daniel Chiette, and I am Senior Vice President for Lands and Resources for Bristol Bay Native Corporation. Thank you for the opportunity to appear today and provide testimony in opposition to EO 126 concerning the elimination of the Woodtichick State Management Council. BB&C submitted written comments to the committee last week ahead of the committee's February 5th hearing. My comments today are supplemental to those written comments, and so therefore I'll be brief. Bristol Bay Native Corporation is the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act regional corporations for the Bristol Bay region. BB&C has a growing shareholder base that today includes approximately 12,000 shareholders who have present-day or ancestral ties to the Bristol Bay region. It's part of our mission to advocate on behalf of our shareholders' economic, cultural, and subsistence interests. The Bristol Bay region has been populated for thousands of years due to its abundant salmon runs and wildlife. The people of the region historically and today rely on those resources for subsistence. Is both a food security and cultural necessity. The Woodtichick State Park, as you know, is the largest state park in the country, covering 1.6 million acres. The legislature created the park in 1978 to help protect vital subsistence resources and habitat for the people of the region and state. At the same time, the legislature also created the Park Management Council, recognizing the importance of the park to local residents for subsistence. The legislature enshrined the creation and purpose of the council in the park's organic legislation. The purpose of the council was and still is to provide local input and expertise to the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Fish and Game on management issues related to the park and its fish and wildlife resources. By all accounts, the council has effectively served that purpose, specifically helping to draft the park management plan and a more recent management plan revision. The council continues to meet regularly and to provide input to DNR and ADFG. Last week, a representative from DNR testified to the committee that he was not aware of any problems with the operations of the council. As was also remarked last week by a committee member, why eliminate the council if it's operating well? The council is fulfilling the purposes for which it was created. Given the importance of the Woodtichick State Park to the people of the region and their subsistence interests, the Park Management Council is extremely important and should continue to be utilized. It appears that the administration is trying to eliminate the council to remove the burden of having to vet council nominations and appoint the members. The legislature can address that burden by amending the appointment procedures. EO 126 simply goes too far. To borrow a second cliche, it's throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and that's a mistake. The less draconian ways to address the governor's concerns without eliminating the council. Bottom line, Woodtichick State Park is vitally important to the Bristol Bay region and its residents. The Park Management Council is a useful vehicle by which local concerns about park management are voiced and through which important local traditional knowledge and experience can be shared with DNR and ADFG, and that needs to remain. With these interests in mind, BB&C urges the committee to support Senate Special Concurrent Resolution Number 3 that disapproves of EO 126 and retains the Woodtichick State Park Management Council. Thank you for this opportunity to testify, and thank you for your service on behalf of all Alaskans.
Thank you, Mr. Chiette. Any questions from committee members? Seeing none, All right, that's the end of our invited testimony. I'm going to open public testimony now. And I'm going to go back to Katie Rooks. Katie, Prince of Wales Island. Katie, you said you had testimony on other executive orders also. Did you have testimony on Executive Order 126?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
All right. Why don't you go ahead, again, introduce yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you. Through the chair, Madam Cecil, for the record, my name is Katie Rooks, and today I'd like to provide testimony on Executive Order 126. Executive Order 126 eliminates a public advisory board in the nation's largest national park. One would think this board would be a priority to keep, considering that the park only has a single paid employee. This public resource needs the knowledge, support, and input of local residents who treasure it and understand challenges associated with the park's management better than others. Those of us who participate on such boards understand all too well the importance of this mechanism in terms of quality of life and promoting a feeling of ownership in our most special places. This council, as noted, has been functioning well and should remain in place. This EO would silence the most informed and passionate voices in terms of public resource management. Please vote no on this and other EOs that expand government control and remove public involvement from decisions affecting Alaska's residents and the place they call home. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Any questions for Katie? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. I want to ask if there's anyone here in the room in Juneau that wishes to testify on Executive Order 126. All right, seeing none, I'll go back to online. I'm going to go to the Dillingham LIO, and Robin Samuelson is there. After Robin, we'll hear from Dan Dunaway. Robin, welcome. If you would introduce yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Robin Samuelson. I'm a 73-year resident of Dillingham, Alaska. I was chair. I've been on the Woodchicks State Management Council for 15 years, most of those years as chairman of the council. I also sit as the tribal chief of the Chugian tribal community here in Dillingham. We have roughly 3,000 members. Tomorrow we'll be shipping you a resolution from the tribe opposing the governor's action on 126. Madam Chair, I remember the day when Senator Jay Hammond came over and talked to us in the formation of the park. And Senator Hammond convinced us that we should support the park. Most people were against it. Thank God the senator came over and was able to convince the majority of Dillinghamers as well as surrounding villages to support the state park. Once we supported the state park, Senator Nels Anderson introduced the bill and the park was created. Madam Chair, I read the governor's statement three times and each time it made me madder and madder. The council, the state management council is non-paid. We have a part-time manager that stays out here. Village input is fielded real comfortably through the management council. People are very open and feel very good when they go testify for the management council. The state park board and the management council has gotten along throughout all these years, doing very well on the management of the state park and the intent of the state park. The last hearing you had, you brought the governor had some people there said that the city of Dillingham has not had a representative on the park board. Well, ma'am, I wasn't at that hearing, but I went to the city and asked, what the hell's going on? How come you don't have a member on that park board? We've been submitting names. The previous administrator's been submitting names. The governor has not selected. So the governor representative fed you a pile of bull when he said there's no representative on the Dillingham. It's the governor that won't appoint, Madam Chairman. The people of this region are very comfortable. with keeping the park the way it is. We're a little leery of the governor. After our dealings with him in Pebble, he's never spoken to us once about Pebble. What's this bill going to do? Open it, put it over into DNR and open state land in the park for mining development? That would be a disaster. Madam Chair, I urge the Senate to reject the governor's bill and keep the Woodchick State Park Management Council intact as it is today. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Samuelson. Any questions for Mr. Samuelson? All right. We'll move on here in Dillingham. We're going to hear from Dan Dunaway next, and he'll be followed by Marilyn Rosine. Mr. Dunaway, welcome. And I neglected to mention earlier, if you could limit your testimony to about 2 minutes, that would be appreciated. Welcome.
Thank you, ma'am, and thank you for hearing the testimony. I wanted to back up what has already been brought up by Mr. Larson and Mr. Samuelson. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, born and raised, been a 34-year resident in Dillingham. I'm involved deeply with state and federal fish and wildlife advisory committees, and I used to be the area sport fish biologist, at which time, for a while, I served on the Woodchick Council. I'm just unaware that it was ever an inefficient system. I don't understand the governor feeling he needs to gain some efficiency. I thought the council worked quite well and it spoke for the people and all. It seems like it's a solution in search of a problem. I'm definitely opposed to this EO 126. I think it's a terrible mistake to disenfranchise the local users and communities. I think that's why the park has been successful, is because the local folks feel they do have a part in it. It's their park. Also, many of the folks here have native allotment holdings inside the park. And as Cody mentioned, this council has facilitated exchanges that have ended up win-win for a lot of people and the park. Sometimes it takes a little talking, takes time, but that's democracy. Democracy takes time. It's not always time efficient. But I'm not sure the park would function as well as it does if we didn't have local buy-in and local support. As other folks have mentioned, they only have one staff, one lonely staff person for the nation's biggest state park. Actually, when I was working with Fish and Game, we used to actually provide them with a project and equipment and sometimes even fuel to allow them to have volunteers working and having more of a presence within the park. And I think it was a benefit to the users of the park, Fish and Game, and the state DNR. I sent a letter, I think, to all of the members, and so I'm kind of reading off of that. I sent it via an email, so I won't repeat myself a whole lot more, but I would hate to see this council removed and leave this park open to manipulation from people from population centers in the state or maybe even outside the state. In my letter, I provide that there was some unwise decision by the legislature to fund a study on the Allen River Falls for a power plant that there's studies showed it was inviable, and it had totally ignored the management plans of the park. This is why we have a council. So please reject this. And as Mr. Larson said, if you feel some really important changes need to be made, do it through the normal and appropriate channels, not kind of this backdoor EO. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dunaway, for your testimony. Any questions from Mr. Dunaway? Seeing none, we'll move on to Marilyn Rosine there in Dillingham, and then we're going to move to Chugiak with Rick Halford. Marilyn, you're up next. Welcome. Again, if you could limit your testimony to 2 minutes, that would be great. We have some more testifiers to hear from. Marilyn, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Giesel and fellow members of the Senate Resources Committee. My name is Marilyn Rosine, and I've been a resident of Dillingham since 1982. I have family, children and grandchildren who enjoy the vastness of the Woodchitchick State Park area. And I believe it's our legacy for the future to maintain the richness of this park for generations to come. I strongly support the continuation of the Woodchitchick State Park Management Council, and I thank you to vote against Executive Order 126. Thank you, Council, and thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Marilyn, for your testimony. So we will move now to Chugiak, and Rick Halford is there. Following Mr. Halford, we'll hear from Dan Dunn in Sitka. So, Mr. Halford, welcome. 2 minutes, if you would give us your testimony and identify yourself for the record.
Hi, my name is Rick Halford. Thank you for this hearing, Senator Giesel and members of the committee. When I initially saw the list of executive orders, I was kind of shocked at the degree to which this governor seemed willing to go against the separation of powers and the method. I was shocked. But with regard to Woodchitchick State Park, I very much agree with the comments of Cody and Dan and Robin and Dan Dunaway as well. It's just amazing that this is a park that was created right in the middle of the D2 battle in the 70s. The state of Alaska was fighting against major legislation at the federal level. And at the same time, the state of Alaska passed legislation to create the biggest park in the nation, the biggest state park in the nation. And it overwhelms all the others. Its total acreage is almost as much as all the others combined, or it's in that vicinity. But one of the reasons it was created was that it had some semblance of co-management to a small degree that made people a part of the solution instead of the continuing conflict that we were dealing with at the state federal level. It's survived for, 45 years. It's been very, very effective. And just as an advocate for the legislative branch and for the whole separation of powers, I hope you will look very hard at all of the executive orders you see, but particularly this one that reverses existing law that is working very, very well, with the only justification something talking about convenience and efficiency. And really, that's code words for dictatorship. That's code words for authoritarian control. This is a working piece of the democratic system that should be held up as an example of what works and not what doesn't work. I hope you reject, or you pass the resolution which rejects the executive order. And this is the only time that you can actually reverse this action without the necessary two-thirds votes to override a veto. At this time, you can make this not happen with a simple majority in joint session. And I thank you very much for your efforts and your time and for looking very seriously at this whole list of executive orders. I think some of them tread on the authority of the legislative branch very seriously.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Halford. Questions from the committee members? Seeing none, thank you. Next, we'll hear from Dan Dunn in Sitka. After Dan, Dolores Larson from Polygonic. So, Dan, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, and thank you, Madam Chair and honorable committee members, for taking my comment on Executive Order 126. My name is Dan Dunn. I've lived in Alaska for 23 years. I own and operate a fishing tender. My boat spent a lot of seasons supporting the commercial fishing fleet in Bristol Bay. I would ask that the Resource Committee please overturn or begin the process of overturning this unfortunate order. It's my opinion that the removal of local stakeholder input on management decisions in this important and sensitive region would be a shame. I believe that effective administration of this area is not possible without the Management Council. Woodchitchick State Park is too important to the entire state to remove stakeholder input with an off-the-cuff executive decision. Thank you for the time.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Dunn. I see no questions, so thank you. So now we are going to hear from Dolores Larson from Koliganek. After Dolores, we'll go to Maria Dossel. She's in Dillingham. Dolores, welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the Senate Resources Committee. Boyana, thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Dolores Larson. My Yupik name is Myok. I am the daughter of Herman and Elena Johnson, wife and mother of three. I'm a lifelong subsistence user and provider, hunter, gatherer, and fisher woman. Professionally, I am the Deputy Director at United Tribes of Bristol Bay, and I sit on the Woodtick-Chick State Park Management Council as the Koliganek representative. I live and work remotely from Koliganek, which is the furthest village up the Mushigak River. For the record, I speak on behalf of myself and my family. The elimination of the Woodtick-Chick State Park Management Council Board is a step in the wrong direction for the future of the park, as well as the ability of Alaskans to have their voices heard in the management of our shared natural resources. The Woodtick-Chick State Park Management Council is comprised of tribal and local community members who work directly with the Department of Natural Resources to manage the park. The local and tribal representation on the current board play a vital role in the management of the state park that reflects our cultural and traditional values and the protection of our valuable resources. Governor Dunleavy signed EO 126 eliminating the park to decrease in, eliminating the state park to decrease in inefficiencies. The real result of the executive order is the removal of citizen management from local people in the Bristol Bay region. DNR's proposed citizen advisory council would streamline important processes regarding the park, and local and tribal representation would not be put in statute if it is transferred to DNR. An advisory board is not the same as a management council, whereas advice can be ignored while authority cannot. The legislature created the Woodtick-Chick State Park Management Council nearly 5 decades ago to ensure that people would have a voice in the management of our shared natural resources. With EO 126, the governor silenced the people's voices. I respectfully ask you to restore it. I just want to say thanks again for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you for your testimony, Dolores. I don't see any questions. Next, we'll go to Maria Dossal, and she's in Dillingham, followed by Cade Woods, who is also in Dillingham. Maria, welcome.
Hello. Thank you, Madam Chair Kavasta Kung, for the opportunity to speak on behalf of this Executive Order 126. My name is Maria Dossal. My mother is Lillian Sager-Mack from King Cove, Alaska. I am an Inungak transplant from Agdigal lands, living here on Chogyang lands here in Dillingham. I work as a middle school teacher for math and science, and I also am a teleworking Indigenous knowledge liaison intern for the United States Fish and Wildlife Service. I am speaking on behalf for myself and my family as well. We are avid visitors to the park for not only its beauty, but its sustenance as well that it gives our family. My family, like many others of this area, rely on a subsistence lifestyle and on these sacred ancestral Yupik lands. Like Cody Larson had said, the Woodtick-Chick State Park Management Council has stood for a long time, over 48 years. And Indigenous stewards, the Yupik people of this land, have stewarded these again for these sacred lands for thousands and thousands of years, for generations and generations. Currently, the Standing Management Council sets a great example of co-stewardship, checks and balances, and transparency with very much local representation. The elimination of this Woodtick-Chick State Park Management Council would open the park up to potential development and leave these crucial decisions into the hands of those who are disconnected from the area in which so many call our wonderful home. It is not fair to us here in Bristol Bay to always have to have our guard up
and to fight for what is right. And that is to protect these sacred lands, the people, and the animals that are all here. We can see through this Executive Order 126 and can read between the lines. We know that this area is mineral rich, and we know what outside corporate entities have in their eyes, and that is dollar signs and developments without any regard for what that development leaves, which is oftentimes destruction. We are constantly having to participate in this fight and to protect what is right and what is sacred. Co-stewardship is not for everybody. I mean, it is for everybody. Co-stewardship is for everybody, and Executive Order 126 would absolutely disregard any co-stewardship that we are trying to have here with the current state management park. So thank you again, Mkagasatung, for the opportunity to speak. Please go through the steps it takes to cancel this Executive Order 126 and fight for what is right for us and for the people and for the animals. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria, for your testimony. Next up, we'll go to Cade Woods in Dillingham, and he will be followed by Casey Kupthiak in Anchorage. Cade, welcome.
Hello, my name is Cade Woods from Dillingham, speaking on EO 126. The reason why I'm making a testimony today is the reiterate what many have said before me about our rural input in our checks and balances in government, especially in Alaska, where sometimes the smaller communities can be set aside for the larger populations, which is something that needs to happen. But sometimes we also need to protect ourselves out in the rural areas. It's also a great rural input for subsistence use, whether it's tribal, people who are moving here, people who come out here subsist, go somewhere back up anywhere really in Alaska, as well as how local guides can put their input in for their business. List goes on and on. So with this sort of council and the input that can be said in a local community, I think it would be really going backwards and almost disconnect from rural Alaska. And I mean, it's already done great so far with the boat ramp funding, assisting local communities with tourism development, seaplane operations, as well as the easement plans, as well as the entire management plan. I think getting rid of this would be a big mistake and would be hurting the communities surrounding the area. Thank you.
Thank you, Cade, for your testimony. I don't see any questions. So next up in Anchorage is Casey Kupthiak. He will be followed by Garvin Fedorenko in Dillingham. Casey, welcome.
Madam Chair, hello, and members of the committee, Koryana, thank you. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. Waka, hello. My name is Casey Kupthiak. My Yupik name is Avnokhtuha, which means morning star. I'm originally from Togiak, a small coastal village on Bristol Bay, and I'm currently in Anchorage attending UAA. I'm a commercial fisherwoman and boat captain and was lucky enough to inherit my drift permit from my grandpa, Willie Kupchayak. I have been commercial fishing for 14 years and grew up subsistence fishing with my grandma, Mary Kupchayak. I am a landowner at Togiak Lake with my family, which is in Togiak National Wildlife Refuge that borders the largest state park in our nation, let alone our state. With that said, I am very concerned with the governor's executive order number 126. He wants to transfer the function of the Woods District State Park Management Council to the Department of Natural Resources. This is concerning to me because that gives him, our governor, all the power without considering locals from villages that reside in and around the state park. To me, it seems like a ploy to get in the back door to Pebble Mine or allow fast track to any other development that has locals concerned. I'll reference Pebble. This is important because this is a mine Alaskans don't want, local Bristol Bayers do not want. I urge you to please take action before the end of the 60 days, which is March 16th,
Locals are baffled, and so am I, because why would you get rid of a council of locals that have done their job and give the power to one man who has made it clear throughout the Pebble fight that he doesn't have our best interests at heart? So please take action against Executive Order Number 126. Guyana, thank you.
Thank you very much, Casey, for your testimony. I don't see any questions. So we will go now to Garvin Fedorenko in Dillingham. Garvin, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Garvin Fedorenko. I am the president and CEO for the Bristol Bay Native Association. The Bristol Bay Native Association is opposed to Executive Order 126 eliminating the Woodchick State Park Management Council. We submitted written testimony, so I will be brief. Since its inception, BBNA has fully committed to cooperation in regional planning efforts. A critical function of our role is to ensure that the subsistence economy remains reciprocal with sectors of the cash economy, such as tourism, as this case may be. The Woodchick State Park Management Council is exemplary of that cooperation. BBNA spearheaded the efforts to coordinate the park structure by working with local tribal governments and holding public meetings in the surrounding communities, in addition to facilitating local representation at legislative hearings in 1976. The efforts didn't end there. The production of the plan was the result of input from hundreds of individuals with traditional knowledge of the land, waters, and wildlife. The results born from this effort have directed resolution to resources use conflicts to maintain relative public consensus. These uses are not static, nor should management be dormant, as subsistence and recreational activities are also adaptive to technological and societal changes. The continuation of the council is essential in providing a consistent and frequent forum for public input, and of equal paramount value, steadily builds the public record which steers future management plan amendments. Development of public use cabins, boat and aircraft safety, wildlife research, cooperative agreements with the adjacent federal land managers and Angsta Village Corporations, trail development, and fostering volunteerism are mere mention of council functions for this remote yet robust utilized area of wilderness. As mentioned previously, there are over 100 native allotment parcels located in the Woodchick State Park. The native allotments are primarily used for subsistence activities, and the landowners need to be aware of any changes to management and have an opportunity to voice their concerns. The Management Council serves as a voice to consider their comments and concerns. These land and waters are the homelands to our citizens, to our representative tribes who have used traditional resource management in perpetual stewardship. For the past 50 years, the BBNA Board of Directors has actively engaged with the contemporary management and promoted cooperative approach to the wide range of users on the landscape. We seek to continue this legacy with the spirit of state park beginnings and into perpetuity. We've asked for your support to oppose the elimination of the Woodchick State Park Management Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Garvin, for your testimony. I see no questions. That concludes the number of people that wish to testify, both online and in the room. So at this time, I'm going to close public testimony on Executive Order 126. We're going to set this executive order aside for today. People can still turn in written testimony, sending it to senateresources@akleg.gov. On the table in front of us is a 2-inch accumulation, 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper bound together, of public testimony on these executive orders that this committee has before us. There are 5 of the executive orders. So I just want the public to know that we are recording your testimony in writing, and there's a stack of it right here to show you how much we've been getting. So the next item on our agenda is Executive Order 134, eliminating the Recreation Rivers Advisory Board. This is the second hearing of this executive order. I'm opening public testimony on Executive Order Number 134. I'm going to call on Katie Rooks, because she said she had testimony on all of these, and to see if she had any on this one. Katie?
Thank you. Through the chair, Madam Kiesel, thank you, and members of the committee.
For the record, my name is Katie Rooks, and today I would like to provide testimony on EO 134, which eliminates the Public Advisory Board that was created under statute nearly 4 years ago and allows for residents of the Susitna area to participate in how six so-called recreation rivers, important to so many people in the area, are managed. Elimination of this body subtracts local knowledge from management decisions affecting subsistence users, recreation users, and visitors. This EO would silence the most informed and passionate voices in terms of public resource management. Despite messages asserting that the administration supports Alaskans for Alaska, with this and several other executive orders, the governor's ensuring that public advisory boards are either losing bipartisan voices or being eliminated altogether, and in many cases, leaving everything up to one individual appointed by the governor. Please reject this and other executive orders that remove public involvement from decisions affecting Alaska's residents and their voice in state resource management. Thank you so much for this opportunity to testify, and thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, for everything that you do.
Thank you, Katie, for your testimony. I see no questions. So we'll move on to Margaret Stern. She's in Talkeetna. After Margaret, we'll hear from Gabe Kidder in Wasilla. Margaret, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you so much for this opportunity to testify on Executive Order 134 and for listening to your public. My name is Margaret Stern. I'm the Program and Communications Director for the Susitna River Coalition. Today, I am commenting on behalf of the Susitna River Coalition and on behalf of our more than 14,000 individuals, groups, and businesses who support our work. We advocate for the communities, livelihoods, and ecosystems that are sustained by the resources of the free-flowing Susitna River watershed from the headwaters to the mouth. We urge you to reject EO 134. The Susitna Basin Recreation Rivers Management Plan is a forward-thinking and valuable management plan that was passed into law in 1991 following a robust public process. This management plan mitigates user groups on six waterways within the Susitna Basin. The concerns and opinions of the Susitna Basin Recreation Rivers Advisory Board play an important role in informing any plan changes and in keeping this comprehensive plan relevant to all waterway users. For unknown reasons, the governor has been targeting our local ability to manage these important waterways and the opportunities for citizens to engage in this process since 2021. The Susitna River Coalition has been heavily involved with this management plan and advisory board since the potential repeal of the plan during the 2021 legislative session. As a refresher, Senate Bill 97 was introduced to the Alaska State Legislature in the spring of 2021. This bill, if it had passed, would have repealed the establishment of the recreation rivers and all recreation river corridors. There was very strong opposition to this repeal, and the bill was not passed in the 2021 session. In 2022, House Bill 120, a parallel bill to Senate Bill 97, was introduced to the state legislature. Again, due to strong public opposition to the repeal, the language concerning recreation rivers was later removed, removing the threat of recreation river designations being removed. While the bills did not pass, the state was directed to form an advisory board. So in November 2021, the governor appointed 13 members representing a diverse range of stakeholder groups that utilize these waterways. These advisory board members provide a crucial role as the informed consultant for the commissioner while preparing, adopting, and revising the Recreation Rivers Management Plan and regulations affecting use and management of the recreation rivers. Currently, the Susitna Basin Recreation Rivers Management Plan is undergoing revision after 20 years in use. The advisory board is integral to this process. We disagree with the governor's statement that disbanding this valuable advisory board midway through the revision of this plan is beneficial and believe that its continued existence and involvement is in fact extremely beneficial to the state. The insights of the user groups represented by the advisory board are invaluable to adequately inform the interests of those that utilize these high-use waterways in our state. Removing the input from their hard-won experiences, insights, and areas of expertise goes contrary to the well-thought-through intentions of the plan. The concerns and opinions of this board play an important role in informing any plan changes and keeping the plan relevant into the future. A significant amount of time, energy, and expense has been put into this plan by the state, and keeping the plan strong is important to the future of the six rivers represented in the plan. Those are the Talkeetna, Deshka, Lake Creek, Alexander Creek, the Talitulitna, and the Little Susitna. An attempt to remove the advisory board appears to be another way to attempt to lessen the effectiveness of this plan. The Susitna River Coalition urges you to keep the Susitna Basin Recreation Rivers Advisory Board in place. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Margaret, for your testimony. I see no questions for you. We'll go next to Gabe Kidder in Wasilla. After Gabe, we'll hear from Dan Dunn in Sitka. Gabe, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm calling as a 34-year-old lifelong Wasilla resident. I've grown up from the age of a baby all the way up, recreating on all six waterways that are the recreational rivers. And I really believe that the elimination of the board itself would be the opposite of the word efficient, as is in the executive order twice. The plan was recently revised and was utilizing the board members to do so. And in a recent public meeting that DNR put on, I asked the simple question of, do they think they could have revised this plan as efficiently without these experts in the different categories that the board represents? I got kind of a beat around the bush answer, but I think it's obvious, and that the board is a very vital portion of the Recreational Rivers Plan. I think it's bad enough that the board members themselves are governor appointed. I applied myself and am well qualified and was never picked, and that's fine. But I think going one step further and eliminating the board altogether is ridiculous. I think the 2-inch thick bound document of public testimony followed by all of us calling is proof enough. And I just want to say I don't agree with it, and I really hope you guys will as well. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate it.
Thank you for your testimony, Gabe. I see no questions. Next up is Dan Dunn in Sitka. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, good afternoon again, Madam Chairperson and committee members. I'm commenting in the hope that you all would please overturn, to begin the process of overturning Executive Order 134. It's my stance that the transfer of the Recreation Rivers Advisory Board to the Department of Natural Resources is not in the best interest of the state. These off-handed executive decisions removing local voices and stakeholder input are unfortunate and unwise. The valuable insights and directions that the advisory board provides for our state should not be castigated as inefficient. I believe that a governor should not be allowed to use their power to disenfranchise local voices in this manner. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Dan. I see no questions for you. Is there anyone here in the room in Juneau who wishes to testify on Executive Order 134? Seeing none, there's no one else online. I'm going to close public testimony on Executive Order 134. Again, folks who wish to submit testimony in writing can send it to senateresources@akleg.gov. So the last item on our agenda today is Executive Order 128, separating the Board of Directors of the Alaska Energy Authority from the Board of Directors of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. So I'm going to open public testimony. Is there anyone here in the room that wishes to testify on this executive order? All right, I'm going to go online. First of all, I'm going to ask Katie Rooks if she had testimony on Executive Order 128. Hearing none, I'll go on to Margaret Stern in Talkeetna. Welcome, Margaret. Please give us your testimony.
Hi again. My name is Margaret Stern, again speaking on behalf of the Sioux Sittin River Coalition. As a public group that has regularly tried to engage with and attend ADA and AEA meetings over the past years, we fully support the separation of the boards. Having two distinct and separate boards with different standing start times will allow for greater public participation, understanding, and access to these state agencies. This is a critical step of many that will help correct the secretive and inaccessible operations both organizations have become accustomed to in recent years. While separating the boards is important, these changes should be made at the same time of the creation of two separate boards. One, at a requirement for the legislative approval of the five public members of the board and the directors of each board. Two, require the board's public members to come from different sectors, including a tribal government representative, a member with experience in socially responsible investing, and a member with experience in renewable energy project development. Three, there should be instituted staggered four-year terms rather than allowing the boards to serve at the pleasure of the governor. And four, increase stakeholder and public involvement in all projects over $10 million, including allowing more than 3 minutes for public testimony. It was recently capped at 2 minutes. Thank you so much again, and we support the separation of these two boards.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Margaret. That is the end of public testimony for this executive order online. And there was anyone in the audience here in Juneau wishing to testify? Seeing none, I close public testimony on Executive Order 128. And so, again, if you wish to submit written testimony, senateresources@akleg.gov is the email address. I look now to co-chair Bishop for a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the Senate Resource Committee, I move the Senate Resources Committee's consideration of the Executive Order 128 relating to the separating Board of Directors of the Alaska Energy Authority from the Board of Directors of the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority be reported from committee with individual recommendations.
Seeing no objection, Executive Order 128 is considered and will be moved from committee. Members, please stay for the signing of the committee report. This concludes our meeting today. The next meeting will be Wednesday, February 14th at 3:30 p.m. For all the folks that testified today online, be aware that on the agenda Wednesday will be consideration of disapproving Senate special concurrent resolutions pertaining to Executive Order 124, Executive Order 126, Executive Order 132, and Executive Order 134. In addition, we will have a presentation by the Alaska Food Security Task Force. At this time, the meeting will stand adjourned. Let the record reflect the time is 4:37 p.m.